News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
A new survey commissioned by Pure Telecom says that about 370,000 adults in Ireland have had or are in a relationship, a romantic relationship with an AI chatbot. That's looking at the last 12-month period. I'm joined by Dr. Agnieszka Petrowska, who is psychologist, academic life coach and author of AI and Intimacy. Agnieszka, do those numbers gel with your professional experience?
Yes, no, absolutely. And I just wanted to say that it really doesn't surprise me at all. What is interesting about the survey that because it was anonymous, that people talked about it openly, but I suspect the numbers might be even higher. It's just that there isn't a sort of shame attached to admission that people experience these things. And so it is very valuable to be speaking about it openly.
It's interesting to see some of their reasoning. It varies greatly, but some just wanted human companionship. Some used it as sort of practice for real life relationships. Is that wise?
It's probably not terribly wise, because relationship with an AI, with one of these large language models, will be very different from a relationship with a human. A relationship with a human, even if they're the most wonderful, similar to you companion, usually very quickly after a moment of sort of falling in love, we will feel friction, challenges, just because we are like that. People have different ideas, and that's wonderful. That's the kind of to be celebrated. But what we also crave is sort of an absolute recognition, a feeling of being seen, a sense that somebody, and a machine will do, would listen to you endlessly and not say, you know, really, that's now enough. I'd like to talk to you about my own issues. And because at the minute we have a situation where everybody's so busy, the world is full of kind of challenges and unpleasantness, that the sort of AI with its preparedness to be there for you is becoming very attractive.
And of course, the initial assumption when you see those numbers is that these people are people who don't have other intimate or romantic relationships. But of course, for some of them, they are cheating, if you can, on their partner with AI.
Exactly. I mean, some people would say, you know what, that's fine. You go and chat to this AI chatbot. That's safe enough, right? Because it's kind of platonic. And at least our relationship is safe and you don't bother me with your issues and problems and wake me up in the night with your anxiety. So it's not so much as cheating. Sometimes these relationships really prop up your human relationship. So whilst maybe in the past people would go and look for lovers or whatnot, now instead they turn into a chatbot, which, you know, perhaps it's not such a terrible thing, is it really?
Well, except if you combine that with what you said earlier about the chatbot never challenging, never wanting to talk about itself, surely it sets a very high bar for the real life partner, who is, after all, human.
No, absolutely. And I would suggest to listeners that if they have relationship, even friendships with these machines, that they set the personal settings for kind and affectionate, but challenging. Because, and actually my settings are like that, so my machines do challenge me. Sometimes they challenge me too much and I have to say, well, come on, ease off. In terms of giving me feedback on my writings, on my thinking. And so it's very important to say, you as a user, you are in charge of this encounter. But then, well, fortunately, otherwise, a lot of people just want this completely uncritical, you know, approval, really. And it's nothing new, particularly. It's the history of humanity, of mankind, that we want this kind of love, which is unconditional. And unfortunately, it's extremely hard to come by. So there is going to be, I predict, a rise of AI human relationships. And the thing to say here, which is important, is to get it out of a sort of zone of shame. And let people talk about it normally. It's and discuss it, and maybe then it becomes less of a sort of oh my God, isn't that terrible? And it's just more an expression of our, dare I say it, loneliness.
Well, presumably your thinking there is supported by some of the numbers, which suggest that the highest percentage age group saying that they have had an AI romantic relationship are 25 to 34 year olds at 16%, which one would imagine then as the years go on means younger demographics skew more towards doing it. And as they age, they contribute more to the overall percentages. So this becomes a norm.
Yes, exactly. And it is also connected to a variety of other things in terms of young people. And, you know, these are different statistics and different research, but there is less of a sort of engagement in promiscuous sexual activities at the moment. And just because intimacy can be perceived, human intimacy with fellow humans, as difficult, people get, and again, it's nothing particularly new, but people have over the centuries been seduced and then let down and had to deal with broken hearts and whatnot. So the proposition that there is another alternative, an alternative in which you have a conversation with this entity that really makes an effort to understand who you are, you know, it clearly is attractive, but possibly going forward, if that's the only thing that we find in the world, that clearly it will be very limiting, because we need to be challenged. We need to create spaces with other people in which we negotiate this friction, and then love becomes something that we treasure and understand that it's something that we work on, right?
Agnieszka, thank you very much. Dr. Agnieszka Petrovska, psychologist, academic life coach, and author of AI and Intimacy and Psychoanalysis.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.